6 months ago this week, twin explosions at the Boston Marathon finish line killed three bystanders and maimed and wounded more than 260 others. The bomb also shattered a sense of normalcy in Boston. As the week went on, the region experienced an unprecedented lockdown that was set in place following the escape of one of two suspects who engaged police in a firefight in Watertown. All week we've been asking questions about those 18 hours that began with the killing of a police officer in Cambridge and ended with the capture of Zohar Tsarnaev. And today we ask this question: how did Tsarnaev elude police for so long in Watertown? Here's WGBH's senior investigative reporter Philip Martin with part three of our series.
How does Zohar Tsarnaev elude police? Several eyewitnesses gave us the same account of Tsarnaev's escape. Tsarnaev ran over his brother and then rammed the stolen SUV directly into two police cars that were blocking the road. He took off at least one door and mirrors as he barreled through. He was chased by officers on foot.
73K, I'm out on foot. I'm making my way to Spruce. I think I'm close. I'm going there on foot.
But it's not clear if any police officers pursued him in their vehicles. From his porch, David LaRocca, a local sculptor, saw the blue police lights two blocks away and a fast-moving vehicle heading in his direction.
So it seemed to me whatever activity was going on down there was coming this way. So I literally dove back into my front door. And at that point, I heard my building get hit by the gunfire. I came out the door after the gunfire was done. The street was covered with, like, SWAT people. And there was a SWAT officer in, like, full armor. And I opened my door, and I realized he didn't see me. And I think I said to him to try to reassure him, I live here.
Police swept past LaRocca's building in the direction taken by Tsarnaev. But the 19-year-old bombing suspect had a head start. Tsarnaev had accelerated up Laurel and ditched the SUV near Lincoln. Then, under the cover of darkness, he somehow made his way to 67 Franklin, about five blocks away, and burrowed beneath a tarp covering a boat. Police believe he was badly wounded by the barrage of bullets fired as he barreled through the police barricade on Dexter. Although blood was found in the abandoned vehicle, there was no obvious trail leading police to Tsarnaev. Another factor seemed to have worked in his favor that evening as well. Chief DeVoe says police from outside of Watertown, about 2,000 altogether, had trouble navigating the neighborhood, described as a labyrinth of winding streets. They got lost.
They had no idea where Dexter and Laurel Ave was, and they had trouble finding us.
If you're not looking in the right direction, you can get lost in Watertown.
Carl Younger, standing a few yards from where Tsarnaev ditched a car, is the former head of the Watertown Town Council.
Often, if you're going down one street, all of a sudden it will stop. And then another street intersects it with a different name. And if you don't look at the street signs, then you're going to be lost.
A police source says some officers who came on their own without being called also complicated the search and apprehension of Tsarnaev.
Leaving the CP, do not self-assign and crowd the area. Do not self-assign those units leaving the CP.
Cambridge Police Commissioner Robert Haas, who helped lead the manhunt, admits there were some problems at the start of the operation, but says the situation was quickly brought under control.
I would tell you after the initial firefight up on Laurel Street and Dexter Street that we did, in fact, cordon off areas, had a search perimeter, actually had teams put in there that were actually reporting back to the command post. And there was a lot of dialogue going on between a lot of the principals that were directly involved in that. The thing we weren't able to get our hands around was the ability to rotate those resources out. So, for example, my special response team was up in that neighborhood for 15 straight hours.
Those hours on the morning of Friday, April 19th, were spent looking for the elusive suspect, going yard to yard and door to door.
Twice. They searched the basement and the garage, and then they came back later in the day and searched the whole house.
Jenny Roberts said that she had never felt safer as the police searched her home from basement to attic. But David LaRocca, back on Laurel Street, alleges his building was never searched.
No, because they don't. I don't think they think that they think of this. Everybody sort of thinks of this as like an abandoned building or like a warehouse or something.
Mike Doucette, whose house sits a few feet from where Tamerlan Tsarnaev met his death, says he suggested to various teams of police who came to his door where he thought Zohar Tsarnaev might be hiding.
And I said, if it was me you guys were chasing, living in this town my whole life, that's where I would be, over in that brickyard. And they had everything else being searched, house to house, every cabinet and everything. And then they stopped the search area half a block from where the guy was with a map. They had, like, the wrong end of the street and everything at first. They told me how he drove up the street and abandoned the vehicle. And then I said, well, here's Walnut Street, here's Lincoln Street and Franklin and Center Street. All those streets are over there and they all lead down. And my cousin was right down there. This is why I know about the brickyard there. I was like, I told him that's probably where the kid's hiding. He didn't happen to be in the brickyard. He happened to be in the yard next to the brickyard. So if they only had their perimeter a little bigger, then maybe people wouldn't have to sit in their houses for an additional 15 hours or whatever it was.
Cambridge Police Commissioner Haas.
The search itself, as much as there were a lot of police officers outside the perimeter, was very much controlled and very much structured teams in working in tandem with one another and reporting back to the incident command post at the Arsenal Mall.
Bravo, Charlie 1 to the Watertown Talk. Go ahead, Captain. Yeah, we're getting a report from Watertown of 67 Franklin Street. They have a boat with blood on it, and they believe someone's on the boat. If we could deploy squad assets down there.
It would be 16 hours before the youngest Tsarnaev was located hiding in a boat. Which brings us to this final question. Why did police say they exchanged gunfire with Zhohar Tsarnaev when it turned out that he was unarmed? Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis addressed reporters at the Arsenal Mall on April 19th, in the hours after Tsarnaev's capture.
We set up a perimeter around that boat, and over the course of the next hour or so, we exchanged gunfire with the suspect who was inside the boat, and ultimately the hostage rescue team of the FBI made an entry into the boat and removed the suspect who was still alive in the boat.
But police now say that the Tsarnaevs had only one firearm that night, a Ruger semi-automatic pistol, and it was recovered at the scene of the shootout when the elder brother was killed. After running out of ammo, Tamerlan Tsarnaev threw his gun at an advancing Watertown cop. 2.5 hours earlier, the brothers had tried to take MIT officer Sean Collier's gun before allegedly killing him. But at the time, police mistakenly believed Zhohar had a rifle. And police say they were also acting under the belief that the suspect might be armed with an explosive, crouching in the boat.
There's a person in the boat trying to poke a hole through the glider of the boat. We have a person in the boat, a live party, who's trying to poke a hole through the boat, maybe trying to toss an object out. Live party in the boat confirmed.
But that does not explain why the authorities later reported that a gunfight occurred when no gun was found on the boat.
Fire.
All units, hold your fire. Hold your fire.
A police source tells WGBH a breakdown in communication between state, local, and federal officials is to blame for reports of a gunfight that never happened. Still, Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis told me at his recent retirement press conference that law enforcement could not have coordinated better.
The partners that I had here during the 15th and then the days afterward, I could not have hoped for better cooperation, coordination, and communication. It worked very, very well.
How well it worked or did not work is the topic of ongoing discussions amongst law enforcement. And WGBH is still seeking definitive answers to many of these questions. Next, we'll explore what police say they've learned as to what went right and what went wrong in those 18 hours. Here in Watertown. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Watertown Talk to North Metro SWAT. How are you making out in that building?
Calling the Fango 903.
And tomorrow we conclude our series with a look at the lessons police learned from the violent encounters in Watertown and Cambridge. And you can listen again to the entire series and read the transcripts on our website, wgbhnews.org.